And I have to give y'all a little insight. The 9 o'clock service sounded a little asleep when we started this, and so I made them start over. So I want you to think about the words that you're saying, and let's be awake and alive, and let's read this responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary.
Praise God for His mighty word.
Praise God for His mighty deeds.
Praise God for His exceeding greatness.
Praise God with trumpet sound.
Praise God with lute and harp.
Praise God with tambourine and dance.
Praise God with strings and harp.
Praise God with sounding cymbals.
Praise God with loud clashing cymbals.
Let everything that breathes praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, speak in me, through me, even in spite of me. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, you who are our strength and our salvation. Amen. So this is the last week of our sermon series, Made to Worship. The title says it all. We were made to worship. The very reason for our being is a life of worship of God. That is our highest calling and our most fundamental purpose. Now that's kind of hard to wrap our minds around, certainly in this complicated, complex world where there are so many things to do, so many things to take care of. It's kind of difficult to think about the fact that worship is really what we were created to do. Now, certainly this doesn't mean that we were created for this just this 1 hour on Sunday morning. Our time together on Sunday morning hopefully is a practice and a preparation for all the other minutes, all the other hours, all the other days in the work. They are a preparation for the rhythm and the tone, for the actions and the words in all the rest of our time. Hopefully what we do here together spills over into the rest of our week. True and faithful worship is worship of God, nothing else. And worship is so much more effective and meaningful when we do it in community, even as messy as that can be with us humans. Today we acknowledge the fruit that is born for us individually when we worship God. In the last few centuries, I believe starting back with Kierkegaard in the 1800s, Christians have sometimes talked about worship as a great drama. Now you may be thinking, oh yeah, the players and actors up there on stage entertaining us, the audience. Well, that's not exactly the model that we're thinking about here in this great drama. Actually, the idea is that all of us here are the players on the stage. So the stage is the entire sanctuary, all of us gathered here. Even if we're sitting in our seats, we are part of the drama of worship. We're not simply being entertained by us, the worship leaders. We are called, even in the pews, to be active participants in the worship of God. In singing, in praying, in engaging, in learning, in loving, in listening, in being open to the transformation of the Spirit working within us. We worship leaders are sort of like the lead actors up here. We kind of help make it happen. We help carry the plot. We help with the work of worship. But the work is for all of us. God in this idea is both director and audience. Through the Holy Spirit, God directs what is happening here when we worship together. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit kind of takes us in a whole different direction or puts things together that we never imagined would come together when we worship God. And that happens also through many months of planning, sometimes we plan way ahead, sometimes we don't, but months ago when this sermon series was set and we set out the themes and the scriptures, the Holy Spirit was working within the plans that we were making, working in the music that was chosen, working in the words that would be put in the sermons, months, weeks, days, and then in this moment. God is also the audience. God is the one who receives our offering of worship, as we sometimes call it, a sacrifice of praise. It is God to whom we direct our singing, our praying, our proclaiming. So that brings me to a moment where I have to say something about our consumer culture. We're certainly in a consumer culture. We like to rate how things, you know, how did this work for me? How well did I like that? Did this really meet my needs? And so we rate a lot of things. And that reminds me of a video I watched recently. It's kind of this silly guy that's on the internet. His name is John Crist, and he puts out lots of videos that kind of roast, kind of make fun of church culture. And I have to say, they're also pretty spot on. They're pretty honest about who we are sometimes as the church. And they really make me laugh, so I like to watch them. But one of them recently was about church Google reviews. Now, sometimes, I don't know if any of you review things on Google. I don't usually review things on Google, but a lot of people review things on Google. And this one was about church Google reviews. And in this one, John was actually defending the church. He was sort of asking the question, should we really rate church and worship like we do restaurants and coffee shops and stores, other things in our consumer culture? At one point in the video, he clearly thinks the reviewers are just being whiny and petty. And he says, you know, in China, it's illegal to go to church. Yeah, and you gotta walk miles in secret. It's true. Worship is such a gift to us in this country. We do it freely. We sometimes, oftentimes, take it for granted. And we often forget that our worship is for God, not primarily for us. With all that said, there is the fact that when we worship, we too get something out of it. It's one of the fruits of worship. It's not the purpose of our worship, and yet it happens all the same. By coming together in community and lifting our hearts to God in word and song and prayer and thanksgiving, we are recentered. We are renewed. We are revived. There is certainly something mystical about the rhythm of coming to this place every week, together with our church family, to hear the story of God that is woven together with your story and my story and our story, that we tell each other through singing and music, that we tell through reading passages of scripture and hearing the word proclaimed from one of us preachers. We come to a special place each week to worship that is filled with symbols and reminders of who God is and who we are. It is through the familiar and the new and unexpected in worship that we are made new. So each week we come to a special place to worship. And here at 11 o'clock, we come to this, at Forest Hill, we come to this main sanctuary to worship. At this service, I know there are many of you who remember very well, very well. You've told me the stories about worshiping for many years in the historic, what we now call the historic sanctuary. And to this day, many of you feel like that space is the most special, or at least that space to you has tender memories of your earliest years at Forest Hill. I have heard the stories of the building this new sanctuary, the sacrifices that were made for this space. And I've been told the story of the day that this sanctuary was complete and worship started in the historic sanctuary, and there was a procession to this sanctuary, to this new place, to bless it and to consecrate this place as the main worshiping place at Forest Hill for this community of faith. And now this has become a very special place for many of us, where we come to worship each Sunday, where we gather to celebrate the lives of our saints who have died, and where the community outside gathers for Piedmont Choral Society concerts and Singing Saints concerts. This is a sacred space. There is something about the familiarity of it that is comforting just when you walk in here. There are symbols here in this place that point to God. Our focus in this worship space, the large cross, of course, points to the fact that Jesus died for us, that is the main reason we are here, to remember Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Our acolytes light candles to remind us of the light of Christ that is here in this place and that we carry from this place in our hearts. Our stained glass windows tell of the scriptural stories of God's grace for us, God's work throughout history. This time of year, we have green pyramids. And you know, y'all see these change at different times and you probably wonder what that's all about. But it kind of helps us move through the Christian year. And at this time, it's called ordinary time, which sounds kind of blah, but ordinary time really just means this is the time for us to just be doing the regular old growing. And so we have green for us growing in Jesus. Each thing has a purpose, and each purpose has to do with helping us center on God as we come to this very special space. Here in the sanctuary, we have different kind of things than we have in other places in our lives. The altar, the candles, the bulletins, the offering plates, and sometimes communion. And we do different kinds of things. Here in this place, we sing together these songs. We pray, sometimes even kneeling at the altar. We walk around and hug each other, even people we don't know very well. We hug them and we greet them in the name of Christ. We listen to a sermon, and sometimes we douse someone with some water in a baptism. And other times we eat this strange meal, and yet that comforting meal in communion. It's a little out of the ordinary. It's not things we do the rest of the week. And yet it is what we do here in this place every week. It is familiar, it's comforting. It helps us recenter and reset for the week ahead. It's always comforting and strengthening to hear and sing hymns that we know. While I love hearing new music and having an unfamiliar song become known to me, I also delight in those hymns that are like my best friends, old friends that I've lived with for a long time, and I could sing every note perfectly in my car, you know, without the organ, but only in my car, and maybe even sing the words with my eyes closed. For the most part, the order of worship is about the same every Sunday, and so when we come to this place, we know what will happen, for the most part. Basically the same thing. And the more we come to worship, the better we get to know one another. And we are familiar with one another's needs, and there is something very satisfying and rich about being surrounded by people that we know, that we love, that we're praying for, and who are praying for us. There's something so wonderful in recentering about the familiar things in worship. There's also something so awesome about new things in worship. You know, something that happens that shakes us up just enough to think a little bit differently or to ask a new question. Perhaps we hear a translation different than what we've heard before of a familiar passage, and it's as if we're hearing that for the very first time. Or, you know, we sing a new song in worship that you don't remember ever seeing in the hymnal before, and you think, what in the world? This is hard to sing. And yet somehow you focus on the words and try to stop singing, and you hear the message a little deeper. Through the music or the scripture or the offertory moment or the prayers or the sermon or something else, sometimes we feel convicted in a new way. We hear God speaking to us in a fresh voice, and we feel recentered, connected to God, and called to move forward in a new way, to move forward in a different direction when we leave this place. When we come together in worship, we are individually reminded who we are and whose we are. We are reminded that we are unique, wonderfully created children of God, and that we belong to God. God the Almighty, we belong to God the Almighty, the creator of the universe. And by the fact that we come to this substantial sanctuary with its beauty and grandeur, we are reminded that we are small. We are just part of God's great big plans, God's great big hopes for the world. So worship helps remind us that we are significant and important to God, and at the same time, it helps remind us that we are not God. In worship, we are reminded that we are baptized. We are named and claimed by God. And in worship, we are comforted and convicted, equipped and empowered, emboldened and sent to go out from this place different than when we arrived. Psalm 150 invites us, directs us, implores us, commands us to praise God in all different kinds of ways, to praise God for how amazing God is, for the wonderful things that God does, to praise God in the church and to praise God under the sky, which I take to mean everywhere else, to praise God with trumpets and lutes, which I think are like guitars, and harps and tambourines and pipes and strings, and even with clashing cymbals. Basically, whatever instrument you can find, if it's musical, use it to praise God. And don't just stop with music. God invites us to get out there and dance. Use our whole bodies to praise God. That's what we were made to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.